The audio-visual. In March of 1995, a limousine carrying Ted Koppel, the host of ABC TV's Nightline, pulled up to the snow-covered curb outside Maury's house in West Newton, Massachusetts. Maury was in a wheelchair full-time now, getting used to helpers lifting him like a heavy sack from the chair to the bed and the bed to the chair. He had begun to cough while eating, and chewing was a chore. His legs were dead. He would never walk again. Yet he refused to be depressed. Instead, Maury had become a lightning rod of ideas. He jotted down his thoughts on yellow pads, on envelopes, folders, scrap paper. He wrote bite-sized philosophies about living with death's shadow. Accept what you are able to do and what you're not able to do, he wrote. Accept the past as the past without denying it or discarding it. Learn to forgive yourself and to forgive others. Don't assume that it's too late to get involved. After a while, Maury had more than 50 of these aphorisms, which he shared with his friends. One friend, a fellow Brandeis professor named Maury Stein, was so taken with the words that he sent them to a Boston Globe reporter who came out and wrote a long feature story on Maury. The headline read, "A Professor's Final Course, His Own Death." The article caught the eye of a producer from the Nightline show who brought it to Koppel in Washington, D.C. "Take a look at this," the producer said. Next thing you knew, there were cameramen in Maury's living room, and Koppel's limousine was in front of the house. Several of Maury's friends and family members had gathered to meet Koppel, and when the famous man entered the house, they buzzed with excitement. All except Maury, who wheeled himself forward, raised his eyebrows, and interrupted the clamor with his high, sing-song voice. "Ted," he said, "I need to check you out before I agree to do this interview." There was an awkward silence. Then the two men were ushered into the study. The door was shut. "Man," one friend whispered outside the door, "I hope Ted goes easy on Maury." "I hope Maury goes easy on Ted," said the other. Inside the office, Maury motioned for Koppel to sit down. He crossed his hands in his lap and smiled. "Tell me something close to your heart," Maury began. "My heart?" Koppel said. Koppel studied the old man. "All right." He spoke about his children. They were close to his heart, weren't they? "Good," Maury said. "Now tell me something about your faith." Koppel was uncomfortable. "I usually don't talk about such things with people I've only known a few minutes." "Ted," Maury said, "I'm dying. I don't have a lot of time here." Koppel laughed. "All right, faith." He quoted a passage from Marcus Aurelius, something he felt strongly about. Maury nodded. "Now let me ask you something," Koppel said. "Have you ever seen my program?" Maury shrugged. "Twice, I think." "Twice? That's all?" Koppel said. "Don't feel bad," Maury said. "I've only seen Oprah once." "Well, the two times you saw my show, what did you think?" Maury paused. "To be honest?" "Yes," Koppel said. "I thought you were a narcissist." Koppel burst into laughter. "I'm too ugly to be a narcissist," he said. Soon the cameras were rolling in front of the living room fireplace, with Koppel in his crisp blue suit and Maury in his shaggy gray sweater. He had refused fancy clothes or makeup for this interview. His philosophy was that death should not be embarrassing. He was not about to powder its nose. Because Maury sat in the wheelchair, the camera never caught his withered legs. And because he was still able to move his hands, Maury always spoke with his hands waving, he showed some great passion when explaining how you face the end of life. "Ted," he said, "when all this started, I asked myself, am I going to withdraw from the world like most people do, or am I going to live? I decided I'm going to live, or at least try to live, the way I want, with dignity, with courage, with humor, with composure. There are some mornings when I cry and cry and mourn for myself. Some mornings I'm so angry and bitter, but it doesn't last too long. Then I get up and say, I want to live. So far, I've been able to do it. Will I be able to continue? I don't know. But I'm betting on myself that I will." Koppel seemed extremely taken with Maury. He asked about the humility that death induced. "Well, Fred," Maury said accidentally. Then he quickly corrected himself. "I mean, Ted." "Now that's inducing humility," Koppel said, laughing. The two men spoke about the afterlife. They spoke about Maury's increasing dependency on other people. He already needed help, eating and sitting and moving from place to place. Koppel asked what did Maury dread the most about his slow, insidious decay. Maury paused. He asked if he could say this certain thing on television. Koppel said, "Go ahead." Maury looked straight into the eyes of the most famous interviewer in America. "Well, Ted," he said, One day soon, someone's going to have to wipe my ass. The program aired on a Friday night. It began with Ted Koppel from behind the desk in Washington, his voice booming with authority. "Who is Maury Schwartz?" he said. "And why, by the end of the night, are so many of you going to care about him?" 1,000 miles away in my house on the hill, I was casually flipping channels. I heard those words from the TV set, "Who is Maury Schwartz?" And I went numb. It is our first class together in the spring of 1976. I enter Maury's large office and notice the seemingly countless books that line the wall, shelf after shelf. Books on sociology, philosophy, religion, psychology. There's a large rug on the hardwood floor and a window that looks out on the campus walk. Only a dozen or so students are there, fumbling with notebooks and syllabi. Most of them wear jeans and earth shoes and plaid flannel shirts. I tell myself it won't be easy to cut a class this small. Maybe I shouldn't take it. "Mitchell," Maury says, reading from the attendance list. I raise a hand. "Do you prefer Mitch, or is Mitchell better?" I've never been asked this by a teacher. I do a double take at this guy in his yellow turtleneck and green corduroy pants, the silver hair that falls on his forehead. He's smiling. "Mitch," I say. "Mitch is what my friends call me." "Well, Mitch it is then," Maury says, as if closing a deal. "And Mitch?" "Yes," I say. "I hope that one day you'll think of me as your friend."